that fade-in music there?
It was all right.
Could you hear it?
I could hear it, yes.
Rock on. Because, you know, it's Rush, and they're Canadian, and the Olympics are playing right now in Canada. It actually all ties together.
And the United States kicked their ass in hockey last night.
We totally did, dude. We totally, totally did.
That game was hard as fuck. It was awesome.
I know. It was hard to watch, though, man. I mean, honestly, I was a little bit more impressed with the ice dancing, to be honest with you.
I don't watch ice dancing.
Well, I didn't have much of a choice, man. I mean, they hardly played the hockey game except for like the last two seconds.
I was at a bar. I was at a bar drinking old style with a bunch of bikers watching the hockey game.
Yeah, that's because you live in Midlothian.
That is why.
That's true. For those of you just joining us, this is Radio Genius. This is a new format. My name's Aaron. My hetero life mate on the other side of the fence is my buddy Jim.
Hello.
You may normally be used to Radio Genius if you've been tuning in, if you're one of the 5 subscribers. You're normally used to having a whole mixtape, and we're switching up with this new format, and it's going to make it more like our radio DJ power hour, if you will. So we're going to play some new music, we're going to play some old music, we're going to play something that's going to really embarrass Jim, and that's going to be a show right there. Right?
That is the show. That's the plan. We're going to... I won't be embarrassed. I unapologetically like the band we're going to be playing later.
That's cool, man. That's cool. I didn't even check it out. I'm going in completely cold.
Well, you're in for a treat. I got to tell you, Aaron.
Well, that's awesome,
it's,
dude.
It's really something special.
That's awesome, dude. The only thing I actually heard a little bit of was the High on Fire track, because I wanted to make sure I had the kind of levels somewhat set so we could do this kind of just live and just spit it out.
There is no preparing yourself for High on Fire. Really, it is a sonic assault.
There really wasn't, man. I mean, it was pretty fantastic. From 5 seconds I heard, where I was like, "Yep, that's good enough." You know, from volume perspective. So without any further ado, why don't you talk to us a little bit about High on Fire?
Well, sure. High on Fire is basically the second coming of Motorhead. It's a band that's, they're from, I think, the Oakland area. This guy, Matt Pike, used to have this, just epic crushing stoner metal band called Sleep. Their classic album is called Dope Smoker, and it's basically a single 62 minute long track. It's fantastic.
Huh.
They're just, High on Fire is his newer band. They've been around since like the early 2000s, maybe the late 1990s. The first album of theirs that I really heard was actually, the name escapes me at the moment, so I'm just gonna leave that out of there. Surrounded by Thieves was the name of that album. They've come out with they come out with an album about every couple of years. They are thunderous. They absolutely crush live. Matt Pike comes out with no shirt on and just starts wailing on a guitar, and it's just, like I said, a sonic assault that's unrelenting. They have a new album out now, actually out next week, I believe, called Snakes for the Divine. And we're going to be hearing one track off of it called Fire, Flood, and Plague, which I think is pretty classic High on Fire, heavy on the lower end, and just a thrashing, crushing thrash metal sound. Like I said, very reminiscent of... Motorhead, only more so, turned up to 11.
Sweet.
Talk.
Yeah, so what do you think, man?
Around 4 minutes in, I started headbanging.
It took you that long?
Well, no. I was digging it right at the beginning, but around 4 minutes in, they started doing the little slow, little dun, 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 you know, the little...
Mm-hmm. Oh, yeah. Thing, and I where the thrash breakdown there.
Yeah, seriously. And then all of a sudden, I was like back in high school with a mullet, and I was just like, yeah.
Yeah, they... My friend Marnus recently wrote up like the 12 levels of headbanging. I'll have to send you a link to his blog post, and where level 12 is complete obliviousness to the world around you while you thrash your head around trying to destroy everything in sight. And I think they might get up to 11 on that track. I don't know if they get all the way up to 12, but they're up there.
That's really good though, man. I mean, I totally hear the connection to Motorhead, mm-hmm. I don't want to sound like I'm speaking ill of Motorhead, but Motorhead sometimes sounds a little bit cheesy, and there's no cheese in that. There's no cheese in High on Fire.
No, you know, we've had 30, 40 more years to kind of refine the art of crushing skulls, and High on Fire comes from that long tradition.
Yeah, it's pretty good. Now, your next track. I have actually seen a lot of buzz about Gil Scott Heron, and especially this particular track. I saw the video, actually. It kind of is like a, what if the Warriors was made in, like, you know, 2009?
I have not seen the video. I didn't know that they'd released a video for it yet.
Very much a Warriors-esque kind of video.
That sounds awesome.
It's on Pitchfork.
I will have to check it out.
Yeah.
Go ahead.
No. You go ahead. You tell me what's with this track.
Okay. Well, you know, a little background. I probably don't have to tell you any background on Gil Scott Heron. You know, he's an old poet and a soul musician. He kind of considered one of the progenitors of rap music. He was mostly famous for this little ditty called "The Revolution Will Not Be Televised."
Mm-hmm.
I kind of ran across him again a few years ago on a soul music compilation. He was doing a rendition of Bill Withers' song "Grandma's Hands."
Mm-hmm.
So when I saw that he had this new album out, I checked it out. It's called "I'm New Here." The title track is from a cover that he does of a Smog song. It's kind of unusual stuff coming from an old soul singer kind of guy. I mean, there's some, you know, some beats, some pretty sparse beats. A lot of the album is just him speaking, which is, you know, something that he's done all along, just, you know, speaking some of his verse. But he's doing some soul singing, and this particular track is a kind of a real odd blues number. I mean, he's singing the blues, and then they've got some, you know, hand clap beats going on in the background, a little bit of strings, a pretty sparse arrangement, but it's there's something compelling about it anyway, I think.
All right.
Okay. Yeah, I can do that now. Okay. Okay. Yeah, I can do that now.
Yeah, the doctor don't know, but New York was killing me.
Okay.
Bunch of doctors come around, they don't know that New York is killing me. Yeah, well, I need to go home and take it slow down in Jackson, Tennessee. Let me tell you, city living ain't all home. It is cracked up to be. Fast city living ain't all home. It is cracked up to be. Yeah, see, I need to go home and slow down in Jackson, Tennessee.
Yeah, I can do that now.
I lay down, I stopped to try to take it on in. Yeah, lay down, to try to take it on in. Yeah, they got 8 million people and I didn't have a single friend. Don't you know, New York was killing me. Yes, I was standing in dying, and New York was killing me. Seemed like I need to start over and go back home in Jackson, Tennessee. Lord have mercy, mercy on me. Yeah, Lord have mercy, have mercy on me. Tell him to bury my body back home in Jackson, Tennessee. Need to be back home, yeah. Born in Chicago, but I go home, Tennessee. Yeah, I'm born in Chicago, but
it's something. The album really is kind of a puzzlement to me, because like I said, that kind of arrangement isn't something that I'm really expecting to hear. Just because it is such a really, it's a contemporary sound, you know, almost kind of a, some of it's almost kind of a dubstep kind of a feel to it, but. You know, then with him either speaking or with that big raspy soulful voice of his, it's a conundrum. I'm still puzzling it out.
Is the rest of the album like that too?
You know, they're not all alike, but they do tend to have kind of that like I said, sparser arrangement. And you know, some of it is him singing, and some of it is him speaking. They all have that kind of a feel mostly.
Because that's a really interesting dark sound.
Yeah.
I was trying to think of like what he's drawn from, you know, what other artists, because I mean, like, so he's got some synth things going on there. I mean, there's some little like later Nine Inch Nails, little, you know, that like kind of corrupt industrial riff cutting through there, and then he's got the blues, that kind of old blues, you know, thing going on too. I'm trying to think of other artists who've done something like that, and it's hard for me to put my finger on it.
Yeah, I haven't spent a lot of time with the album, but I've listened to it several times now, and I haven't completely puzzled it out myself.
I could totally see myself just jamming out and reading, or you know, coding to that. There's an album of of that. I could see me kind of going off into a trance for a good hour or so.
Well, you know, the problem is that some of the spoken word stuff is pretty immersive.
Okay.
You know, he's doing his poetry, and his words are pretty powerful. He's he opens up the album with a poem about coming from a broken home and, you know, being raised by his grandmother in Tennessee, and it's stuff that really grabs you. I mean, it's not background stuff.
Hmm. We'll have to ponder that one some more. Yeah. Definitely going to give it a few more listens, though. That's really good. Both your tracks are excellent. I feel mine are very weak by comparison now.
Well, no. I mean, you know, we went to a dark place, and I think you're going to brighten us up a little bit, aren't you?
Not right away, though. My first pick is you brought High on Fire. Kind of was the resurrection or the resurgence of Motorhead in a new form, and the Editors are kind of like the progenitors, whatever. They're like Joy Division with New Order's synths.
You know, I keep hearing about all these other bands, being, channeling Joy Division. It seems like it's the go-to comparison.
Well, when you hear these guys, you'll understand why. First of all, he sounds very much like Ian Curtis. Okay? The synths sound a lot like New Order. Not the Peter Hook, bass groove. That's not there. But the darker tone, the commanding voice, is definitely there. This was one of those like $2.99 albums from Amazon. So I'm a Amazon MP3 whore now. So if there's something even halfway good, I'm like, $2.99, I could buy that, because it's like buying coffee. Somebody had mentioned that to me, that, ooh, they're just like Joy Division. And I'm like, well, I gave it a listen. I'm just like, well, I like the previews enough. I'm like, I guess I'll pick it up. And it's actually turned out to be really quite good. The album as a whole is very moody, very atmospheric. But this is like the second or the third track on the album. This is called Papillon, which I guess means butterfly.
There was a movie. Did you see the movie?
I never saw the movie.
Papillon. It's about this sort of inveterate troublemaker. He gets thrown into this island prison.
Right. Wasn't that with like Dustin Hoffman?
Yeah, he was in it. Yeah.
Right. I know of the movie. I never saw it.
And well, of course, we'll check it out. I don't know if the song has anything to do with it, but perhaps it will deepen your understanding.
Perhaps. But at any rate, here I will play for you some of the Editors in their song Papillon.
Alrighty.
Make your escape, you're my own. Too fast, feel love before it's gone. It kicks like a sleep twitch. My papillon, feel love when it's gone. Like a sleep twitch. Darling, just don't put down your guns yet. If there really was a God here, he'd have raised a hand by now.
a sleep twitch. You will choke, choke on the air you try to breathe. Like a sleep twitch.
Yeah, well, you know, I'm hearing that that sort of repeating synth line,
mm-hmm.
you know, that definitely gives it more of the New Order kind of feel.
Yeah,
it's got that that deep singing voice,
mm-hmm.
you know, which is nice to hear because you don't hear that a lot. You know, someone singing in the lower registers.
Yep.
In a pop band, you know, but it all, you know, again, does invite comparisons to, say, Joy Division or Echo and the Bunnymen, or
totally,
you know, a number of contemporary sort of post-punk groups from that era. So yeah, I mean, that's I'd listen to that. I just did, but I'd listen to it again.
There you go. Yeah, as you know, I'm perpetually, tragically stuck in the late 80s, early 90s with my musical tastes. And no matter what I do, they all come back to, like, three albums. One of them included is Big Bam Boom by Hall & Oates, you know, so.
Wow.
Yeah, there's nothing I can do to escape it. You know that. Yeah. But yeah, so the name of the album is In This Light and On This Evening by the Editors. Now, if they have brought back kind of Joy Division New Order, this next band, unbelievably, and I say this, and you know how I feel about this particular artist, they have brought back Prince of the Revolution, Purple Rain Era.
You're fucking with me.
I'm not fucking with you.
Go to hell.
Dude, when you hear this, you'll understand why.
They're bringing the sexy back.
Dude, look, OK Go, that's the band, all right? They're the guys who did the Here We Go Again, whatever, the song with the video where they were on the treadmills and shit like that.
Right.
Right. First of all, I never even bought that single. I would have never expected that I would have bought any album that that band could produce. But people after people after people kept messaging me about how, holy crap, this album, they have summoned Purple Rain era Prince. And I was just like, dude, come on. You don't say that to me. I mean, if you're going to say that to anybody, you don't say that to me, right? But I gave it a listen on the previews, and I was just like, holy crap. They got the chords right. They got the synths right. I'm like, they're actually onto something. So I picked it up. Unbelievably, it's pretty good. And not just pretty good for OK Go. It's pretty good. It's hard for me to say that, considering that it's OK Go, and considering that they're basically ripping off Prince's, you know, like at the pinnacle of his career, right? They're ripping off his sound, and they pull it off, because Prince sure hasn't pulled it off since then.
It seems like it's been a while. You're setting some pretty high expectations, man.
Dude,
I'm expecting steam coming out of my speakers here, and Instaboner. You know what I'm saying?
I hear what you're saying. I don't know that it's going to quite get there, but I will say this: this is the best Prince album in probably 10 years.
Wow. All right.
Okay. So, without further ado. Here's End Love off of the album Of the Blue Color of the Sky. I cannot make this up.
Okay.
Thank you.
right. Well, you know, I'm hearing some of what you're talking about there. I'm hearing it in the vocals.
Mm-hmm.
You know, I'm hearing it in the rhythm section.
Yep.
You know, and the synths even. You know, I would say the only thing it's missing is a hot guitarist.
Absolutely.
Got 80s Prince. You're absolutely right. I mean, because I mean, Prince can shred.
Dude,
I mean, you just can't stop the man.
Did you see? Did you see him play at the Rock and Roll Hall of Fame tribute to George Harrison?
Absolutely,
dude. That was phenomenal. So killer.
He tore it up. He embarrassed everybody on stage.
I totally wish that like he would just put out an album of playing other people's songs where he just shreds them. You know.
Mm.
That'd be really awesome. I would love to hear him just be like, I'm going to take, like, I don't know, you know, like, you know, Dylan and Prince. I wouldn't even know what he would play, but it wouldn't even matter.
You know, just start tearing up some Satriani or something.
Dude, he could play Journey. It'd be fun.
I'd listen to that. I'd listen to Prince playing, covering Journey.
That actually would be pretty tight. What song would he cover?
I don't know, man. I'm drawing a blank. I can't think
of it. He could do he could do Faithfully and then go right into Purple Rain. I think that would work.
There you go. I was going to say, I can't think of any Journey songs that really feature just a vicious guitar attack.
Right. But, they could do like the end solo where they do the Faithfully, and then you can go right into you know, from Purple Rain. Never mind. That's not good. That's not good.
That's all right.
That's not good. All right.
You should sing on every podcast.
I'll make it a point to try that. All right. So that's the new music we've been listening to. We have some. We have two tracks that we've been listening to that are older, and you want to introduce.
This is what Aaron calls resurrected music.
Well, it is resurrected. It is resurrected music. I mean, because it, you know, it could. I mean, let's put it this way: my library is about like 29,000 tracks big right now. Okay, you have probably even more, and so there are anything that we're not immediately listening to or isn't like one of our all-time favorite songs. Could easily just kind of wither and die. We could forget about it, right? So if you're pulling something back from the grave, that's a resurrected track to me. That's what that means.
Well, this one, mine isn't so much something, you know, rise from the grave, right, kind of a thing. It's more of a new to me kind of a thing.
Yeah.
Because you know, an online friend of mine, between, you know, evangelizing Lady Gaga and posting various screens, that and the other thing, posted his top 20 list last year, and on it was this band called Motorpsycho. I'd never heard of them, but I just kind of casually checked them out in the last couple of months here, and they're really good. It's this Norwegian psychedelic rock band. They've been around forever. I mean, 20 years, something like that, and they got all kinds of influences in there. You know, they go into noisy freak out sometimes. The jazz influence is progressive. I mean, they do, you know, 20-minute long, 4-act cycles. So the particular song that I'm going to play is from their 2009 album, Child of the Future. But they actually already have another album out this year called Heavy Metal Fruit. I mean, they're pretty prolific, apparently.
Okay.
And the name of this song is Mr. Victim.
Yeah.
So yeah, that's kind of a nonstop ride of a song. I mean, it just jumps right in and doesn't really let up throughout the entire song. Whereas, you know, a lot of their stuff, again, has more progressive song structures where there's peaks and valleys. And again, you know, they have a lot of jazz influences that they throw in and noisy freakouts and all kinds of great. But, you know, what is common to it, though, is the kind of the vocal structure that they're using there with, you know, pretty strong male vocals with a little bit of harmony to it, which I do like a lot.
It sounds a lot to me like they were taking like a new Ozzy approach to a old Black Sabbath sound.
Hmm. That's an interesting interpretation. Most of the new Ozzy stuff that I hear,
The new Ozzy stuff is so engineered, I thought that the underproduced tone of the track and the chord progressions and the kind of droning, you know, heavy, you know, on the low end, reminds me a lot of classic Black Sabbath, but the kind of vocal approach that they're taking is very much like new Ozzy.
Hmm. Yeah, I can see that.
Newer Ozzy, No More Tears kind of Ozzy, I guess. Which is, I guess, is like 20 years old. So,
yeah, I mean, I guess if you took that song and you played it at about 2/3 speed, I could definitely hear more of the Black Sabbath.
Yeah, probably right. All right, my resurrected track is also something that's more new to me than something I used to listen to and forgot about. You are a fan of Girl Talk, as I am a fan of Girl Talk.
I am a fan of Girl Talk.
Okay. So
say that without shame.
I also say that without shame. I was flipping past Fuse on TV about a week or two ago, probably to watch Nick Jr. because it's, you know, the next channel up. And, you know, I have a 1.5-year-old who, you know, insists now that we must watch Wonder Pets at all times. And as we're flipping past there, they had like this whole like Notorious B.I.G. Power Hour. And since Evie didn't really seem to care that I was on Fuse longer than normal, I happened to stand just to see what they were playing. And they played, you know, they just finished winding up all the Tupac songs, and they started out with Juicy by Notorious B.I.G. And I don't know if you're familiar with this track or not, but you will recognize what Girl Talk lifted for one of his bigger tracks. I can't remember the name of it now, but the lyrics and the riff are totally from the song. And I thought of that, and I'm just like, wow, that's a really awesome song. And then lo and behold, I already had it in my library, which, you know, I love.
Surprise!
I love when that happens. So, without further ado, here's "Juicy" by the Notorious B.I.G. off of his Ready to Die album.
Fuck all you hoes. Get a grip, motherfucker. Yeah. This album is dedicated to all the teachers that told me I never amount to nothing. To all the people that lived above the buildings that I was hustling from that called the police on me when I was just trying to make some money to feed my daughter. And all the niggas in the struggle. You know what I'm saying? It's all good, baby, baby. It was all a dream. I used to read Word Up magazine. Salt and pepper and Heavy D up in the limousine. Hanging pictures on my wall. Every Saturday, Rap Attack, Mr. Magic, Molly Mall. I let my tape rock till my tape pop. Smoking weed and bamboo, sipping on private stock. Way back when I had the red and black lumberjack with the hat to match. Remember rapping Duke? Da-ha, you never thought that hip-hop would take it this far. Now I'm in the limelight cause I rhyme tight. Time to get paid, blow up like the World Trade. Born sinner, the opposite of a winner. Remember when I used to eat sardines for dinner? Peace to Ron G, Brucey B, Kid Capri. Funk Master Flex, Love Bug, Star Ski. I'm blowing up like you thought I would. Call a crib, same number, same hood. It's all good. And if you don't know, now you know, nigga.
You have one connection, and you're the only one.
chillin' with Robin Leach. And I'm far from cheap. I smoke stuff with my peeps all day. Spread love, it's the Brooklyn way. The Moet and Alizé keep me pissy. Girls used to diss me, now they write letters cause they miss me. I never thought it could happen, this rapping stuff. I was too used to packing gats and stuff. Now honeys play me close like butter play toast. From the Mississippi down to the East Coast. Condos in Queens, in dough for weeks. Sold out seats to hear Biggie Small speak. Living life without fear, putting 5 carats in my baby girl ear. Lunches, brunches, interviews by the pool. Considered a fool cause I dropped out of high school. Stereotypes of a black male misunderstood. And it's still all good, And if you don't know, now you know, nigga. Genesis. When I was dead broke, man, I couldn't picture this. 50-inch screen, money green, leather sofa. Got 2 rides, a limousine with the chauffeur. Phone bill about 2 G's flat. No need to worry, my accountant handles that. And my whole crew is lounging, celebrating every day, no more public housing. Thinking back on my one-room shack. Now my mom pimps a act with minks on her back. And she loves to show me off, of course. Smiles every time my face is up in the sauce. We used to fuss when the landlord dissed us. No heat, wonder why Christmas missed us. Birthdays was the worst days. Now we sip champagne when we thirsty. Damn right I like the life I live. Cause I went from negative to positive. And it's all. And if you don't know, now you know, nigga. And if you don't know, now you know, nigga. And if you don't know, now you know, nigga. Representing B-Town in the house. Junior Mafia, Mad Flavor.
You know, I'm probably gonna end up saying this every time we have a rap song, but you know, I'm not a big. I like rap. I just don't know much about it, and I don't listen to a lot of it. As far as I know, from my limited understanding,
mm-hmm.
things that you're looking for in a rap song are your beat,
mm-hmm.
flow,
yep.
to a certain extent, your lyrics.
Yep.
And so. The beat was good. I thought the flow was real good. And as far as the lyrics go, dude's rapping about Super Nintendo and Sega Genesis. I mean, that's more like the kind of nerd white boy rap that I normally listen to. So
right.
It's all good. I liked the song.
Rock on. Did you catch what has been in Girl Talk songs before?
Maybe I didn't hear that song, or maybe I just am not listening to this right. But I didn't quite pick it out.
Okay.
I really only listened to the one Girl Talk album, which I did like, but I haven't encyclopedically gone through the rest of his catalog yet at this point.
Well, I think this is still off of Night Ripper, so.
Okay.
I'm not really sure. Anyway. We're coming to the close of the show, and either coincidentally or ironically, however you'd like to go, Name of your song is Closer.
It's Closer, actually.
Right.
Yeah, but Closer. Yeah, Closer. Yeah, I see. So it is a good song to close the show with. But this is the part of the show where we embarrass me, right?
Well, it's not really embarrassing you. I mean, you can be proud of it, but the idea is that, you know, a closet track to me is generally one that I am not ashamed to play and profess my love for, but, you know I'm going to get shit for it.
Well, let me tell you. Let me tell you about my love for this band, The Urge.
Okay, bring it.
Because, you know, I grew up in a, you know, kind of a small town, Quincy, Illinois. Didn't have much of a music scene back in the day. So we kind of imported our music scene from St. Louis, which was the nearest big town.
Okay.
Or we actually exported ourselves to St. Louis. And we'd go down there and we'd catch shows at the American Theater, sometimes at the Fox. And a lot of times we'd go to this old bar called Mississippi Nights.
Okay.
So I'm talking about back in, you know, the early 90s. We're going down to St. Louis and catching shows at Mississippi Nights, and there's this band, The Urge. And back at that time, The Urge is sort of a ska punk funk outfit with horns, and, you know, very much like a Fishbone. And you know my love for Fishbone.
I do.
All right, so I mean, we're checking these guys out, and they're great. They're a lot of fun, very energetic, just tight, so tight on stage. Really, really good band. And at some point in the mid 90s or so, I lost track of them. I tuned out. I don't know how it happened. But come to the year 2000 and I'm in a record store and I hear this song, this pop song on the radio, or, you know, they're playing the CD in the record store, whatever it is. And I think to myself, man, that sounds like Steve Ewing, the lead singer of The Urge. And I check it out, and it's this song, Too Much Stereo, by The Urge, off of what ended up being their last studio album. And so I picked up they had actually come out with real, you know, professional albums in the meantime, not the self-released stuff they'd been doing back in the day. And so I picked up all three of them, of the bigger albums they did. And it turns out in the interim, they'd done some touring. They'd supported bands like Korn and Limp Bizkit and 311, and their style had kind of progressed that way. You know, they still had the ska, the punk, the funk, that kind of thing going on, but mm-hmm. they were going a little bit more towards the hardcore, real crunchy heavy guitar sound. A little bit, I mean, Stevie can rap a little bit, and they're doing a little bit of the rap metal and that kind of thing, you know, but it's still pretty good. You know, it's pretty good stuff. And it's this band, The Urge, that I love, that I've loved for a long time. So I'm listening to it and I'm digging it. And you know, Nick Hexum from 311 even, sang backup on their single Jump Right In, which may have been their other big hit other than, the Too Much Stereo.
Okay.
So anyway, this song that I'm playing, Closer, it's from their second-to-last studio album, Master of Styles, from 1998. And, you know, it shows a little bit more of the softer side, the melodic side, but then also they come in big with the guitars, and it doesn't, you know, you don't really hear Stevie's rap stylings in this song, but it has a little bit of the stuff. A lot of the various, you know, it's sort of a crossover thing, you know, it's of their later period. Now, I still put up their older stuff against a lot of the bands that were around back in that time. But, you know, this is a later period, more polished kind of a thing that showcases a lot of what they were doing in that later era.
My appreciation.
All right, let me have it.
No, it's really not all that bad. It sounds a lot like 311 to me.
Which
you kind of prepped me that it would. So, and I could totally hear it. Yeah, that's all. That's not all that.
Yeah, I mean, you can still hear kind of some of the, you know, some of the ska. You know, their ska origins. You know, they're still doing that kind of upbeat ska guitar thing.
Yeah, but I hear that from to me, I hear that from 311. So, because I was never a huge 311 fan, so that's what sticks for me.
That period. And a lot of their songs from that era, yeah, I mean, they have that similarity there.
No.
Someday I will play the album Magically Delicious for you, and I will convert you.
That's but cool, man.
That day is not today, though.
That's all right, man. Well, this is going to wrap up the show. I hope that this has been a good one. Was this good for you, Jim?
I thought it was great. I think we're, I think we sound great. We probably sound like idiots once we listen to it later. There's probably a lot of uhs and you knows and that kind of thing. And I think we're riffing pretty well. We're doing all right.
I think so. I mean, this is not exactly morning show shock jock, but it's no longer college radio either, right? So.
No, like, there's some interactivity here. I'm not just sitting alone in my garage and, you know, reading a script that I've written for myself because
huffing glue.
Improvise. Yeah.
I'm with you. So without further ado, here's our outro music. Watch this. Oh, yeah.
Call that. So do we say goodnight or anything?
Yeah, we're saying goodnight. That was our outro.
All right.
Good night.
Good night, everybody.
Good night, everybody. Hold on. Let me stop taping.